Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
Must get it on.
Must get it on. All right, you can probably take the dates off from 2 weeks ago, Gary, if you like. Now he's from up to 5/8, darn. He's heading toward 11/16. All right, the great Dr. Drew over there. I'm Adam Kroll over here. Chris Maxwell has a great look on his face.
He's waiting for his abuse to come his way.
Oh, please. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for telling a friend. Thank you so much for clicking through the Amazon link, quiet at adamanddrdrewshow.com, and subscribing at the PayPal button. $5 a month. Seems fair. Yes, Drew.
Do you know I, in the Dr. Drew podcast, interviewed these two guys
mm-hmm.
in great, great detail. I found out who they were, where they came from, how you found them,
mm-hmm.
what they're thinking about everything,
mm-hmm.
all their secrets.
Yeah. Not
revealed.
Interested.
No, it wasn't very interesting.
Not interested. No, I'm sure it's interesting. I am wired in such a way where if somebody sends me a tweet and says, some guy was talking about you on his podcast, here's a link. Do you want to hear it? I go, no.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any good can come of it.
Right.
That's the way I think. And then choose to think about things like, how do I get to the Harbor Freight place in Altadena to buy a wet saw so I can cut tile?
Wet saw.
A wet saw.
Oh, buy the saw.
I buy the saw, the
you
wet saw.
You don't rent it or something? You have to buy the whole damn thing?
I,
Those huge wet saws?
Yeah, but now, see, the thing is I think it's a Chinese thing, but now everything that was commercial. Remember when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And there was that one kid who had like a pinball machine
yes.
or a slot machine
yes.
in his house.
Yes, which is crazy.
And you'd go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And they'd go, well, his dad works for a casino and was or works, his job is refurbishing or whatever. There's some explanation.
Yeah.
And you go, oh.
Yeah.
That's
he
why.
He has special access.
He has. Now, half the kids have a soda machine in their house.
Yes.
You know, because you mentioned these things. And I wonder if it's part of the greater depreciation, and I don't mean in value, I mean emotional depreciation for things, which is this. When I would go to the movies when I was a kid, and on the off chance that I had enough money to get a soda, which was less than half the time, we would, if we did go to the movies, there's two ways I would go to the movies. Boy, this is going to sound like Grandpa Carolla. But I remember one time I wanted to see the movies at the El Portal movie theater, which is over in North Hollywood. And that's about 2 miles from the house, something like that. I literally realized that the bottles, the redemption values on these bottles, the big soda bottles, the glass ones, were like 10 cents, and
yeah.
the little ones were like a nickel.
Yeah.
And I started searching around, and I walked through the neighborhood, and I was like knocking on doors. Do you have any soda bottles that are sitting there? Could I have the soda bottle? You know, and I gathered up, you know, 14 soda bottles
just
something.
Mental note, that job now has been taken up by the homeless.
Yes.
Yes.
And
formerly your job.
Walked it formally over. I walked it Cole. Over to the Ralston Liquor Store, which was in North Hollywood, and I got like $1.20. And the movie was, you know, $1.10 or whatever it was for the double feature. And then I walked to the El Portal Theater, which is on Lancashire. I lived, you know, off of Laurel Canyon or whatever. It was 2 miles, 2.5 miles. And I walked over there.
Now you got grit.
And I just bought my ticket. Well, it was, I want to see a movie.
By yourself?
I think I went myself. But I wanted to see a movie. And there was no other way to see the movie other than walk around, collect bottles for a couple hours, turn them in at the liquor store, get the change, and then walk myself. I wasn't going to get a ride. I wasn't going to get the money. I wasn't going to get any of that stuff, but I wanted to see the movie. So I did it. I wasn't shaking my head and going, God damn it, with these returnable bottles or anything. I just said, I want to go see this movie.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's a 2 o'clock showing and it's 10 in the morning now.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, I'll go. I honestly think, and you can bring up the poster, it was Doc Savage, which was a weird, bad sort of serial
sort of Billy,
series.
Billy,
Billy Jack?
Billy
no,
Jack,
no, yes. this was something else. This was sort of Buck Rogers meets, I don't know what, Snake Plissken or something. But there was a series. I don't know if it's based on a comic book. By the way, I didn't want to see it. It was just whatever was at the local. You had to go to whatever was walking distance. You know what I mean? That was the movie that was at the El Portal Theater for 4 months, by the way.
Oh.
You had to see it. You didn't have any other choice. But here's my thought, Drew. If I had turned in a couple extra bottles, there's Doc Savage.
Wow.
Now, that's not the movie poster, I don't believe. Or maybe it is. We'll find maybe the movie poster. It's based on a comic
book.
That's
like a DVD.
Yeah, something. We'll find the movie poster from, you know, 1975.
Go ahead.
But if I had saved up or returned enough bottles to have another 50 cents to get a large soda at the theater.
Ooh, big money.
I could remember the feeling of going, ooh, Dr. Pepper or Coke or do the mix with the orange to Dr. the suicide. But I could remember the sound of them, you know, you know, holding the cup up against the thing and having it fill up. And I remember sort of almost salivating like, oh, okay. And they'd snap the lid on top and slide it across to you. And it was frosty cold. And you hear the ice rattling around the top. You're like, score. There's an endorphin rush, you know. Now, you go to the fucking KFC, they give you a cup. You go to the Pollo Loco or the Taco Bell, whatever. They just hand you the cup. The kid goes over, pours it, drinks some, pours some more. Half the guys have some sort of soda, whatever, Express or something in their house where they're making their own. The fridge is stocked with the whatever. There's not that. There's a depreciation of something that used to be, oh, I've earned this, and this is exciting. And it's been 2 hours of foreplay coming up to this soda. Now, I just feel like kids get handed a cup, go do it yourself, and there's no big whoop to anything anymore.
I wonder if that's good. It might be good. I wonder if that's what's happened like with vehicles and stuff, too. You notice how kids at 16, they could drag my license eventually. They have no preoccupation with having a car. Remember that whole thing? Same deal.
I told you. I toted my 16-and-a-half-year-old nephew around. He came and stayed with me for 4 days over whatever the holiday was. Lynette took the kids to Florida, and I was alone in the house. Gary's showing us the exact same poster. I was that's the movie poster? I can't hear you, Gary. Uh-oh. He's gone up to 13/16 start. Yes.
My bad. That's what all the sites are saying, that this is the movie poster, yes.
Oh, maybe it is the movie poster. There's something that looks a little off.
The first one was a little off. It had a Warner Brothers archive collection at the top, but all the sites are saying this was the movie poster.
What does it say? I can't read the Doc Savage thing from here.
The Man of Bronze or something?
Yeah. Let me bring it down so I can read it here. Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze. His body, a physical phenomenon. His mind, a mental marvel. His fight to right all wrongs. His name, enough to strike terror into the hearts of the most hardened criminals.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of a Buck Rogers, a kind of a Flash Gordon-y thing, but also a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of thing. I don't know. It seemed good. As I recall, the movie sucked. I mean, you can see. I don't know, see what it's sitting at on Rotten Tomatoes. Was it 1975? Like, what's it at on Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff? Who's starring it? I don't think it never turned into anything. But
is the depreciation of things a good thing? It might be. But people are so preoccupied with things. Or it's sort of a commoditization of things.
Here's what I don't.
You have too much of it. So it devalues.
Yes, that's right. It's my 16-and-a-half-year-old nephew who stayed with me for 3 or 4 days. So I said, like, look, I'm going to teach you how to drive. And he's like, And I was like, don't you want to drive? And he's like, I guess. And I said, what kind of car do you want? Because when it was back in the day.
Oh, my God, yeah.
First off, you didn't get a choice of the kind of car you'd get. But if you did, it was just a cheap car. It got 62% from the audience, but no critics. And no reviews yet. It came out in 75, so let's not hold our breath. The producers of Doc Savage look every day on Rotten Tomatoes. Not yet. Not yet. We're coming on the 30-year reunion.
40-year.
A 40-year. Oh, yeah, the 40-year. Jesus Christ. Sad. All right. So anyway, you know, he had no interest in driving. And then back, okay, now think about this, Drew.
Yeah.
We did not have a selection. It's like, here's, you know, when someone would say, you know, what kind of car are you going to drive? It'd be like, well, my grandmother has a Toyota Corona wagon that's shit brown, and they took away her driver's license 4 months ago, so that shall be my car.
Yeah.
Like, you would get the car. My friends had the piece of shit that the grandparent died and just gave him the piece of shit.
Mm.
And that's all you had, or the piece of shit that your dad gave you when he went and got the new car. Yeah. I got nothing, but most people got some piece of shit.
Yeah.
There was no, I mean, literally, you could go out and get a nice Mustang with a big V8 in it that would perform circles around anything we had, you know, all day long for $7,000 on eBay. Oh. I mean, and not only that, I'll get a Golf GTI Rabbit or something. I mean, stuff that's fun, stuff that handles, stuff that's quick, stuff that's nimble, stuff that works, you know. And like the kids are like, so I said to my nephew, well, what do you want to get? And I thought I thought he's going to go like a used Corvette, because there's been so many generations of Corvettes now that you could probably find a low mileage 97 Corvette, you know, have a cool car, probably cost $5,000, you know. Ooh. Whatever. He said, I think about getting a Prius. And I was like, wow, just no sense of wanting to, you know, carve up a canyon or just get up on Mulholland.
You know, when I was after my surgery, I was watching American Graffiti again. I hadn't watched in a long time. And the preoccupation with the cars and the music does not exist anymore.
Right.
It does not exist.
So here's the thing. The foreplay for me was the long walk through the San Fernando Valley until I got to that soda. If I had a soda machine at home, I think I'd be two things, unsatisfied and fat.
Yeah.
Which is
how we are now. Strange metaphor for how we actually are.
I do feel like the greatest form, the greatest joke you could play on your enemy, like if you really hated somebody and you really wanted to destroy their life, give them the power to have anything they wanted whenever they wanted it immediately. What if you had that power? What if you could go...
Would you be like a... you know, a kid with parents with money or something. We know that doesn't go well for those kids.
Well, let's take it a step further. Let's just take it a complete and utter step further. Let's just say you literally could go, I'm in the mood for a slice of pizza, thin style, Hawaiian style, from Joey's of Brooklyn.
Poof.
Poof. It was in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, your first notion would be, good. I got a piece of pizza from Joey's in Brooklyn, and it's the kind I want. This is cool. And then your next one would be, I want every supermodel in the world.
Right,
and then it'd be, I want, no, but there's cars I like.
Yeah.
You know, and there's like, oh, that BMW M1 Pro car. That is a beautiful, beautiful car, man. But, well, that's an expensive car, man. I'm going to have to sell a lot of Mangria if I ever want to get that car. But if I could just go poof and there was the pro car in front of me and then I went, oh, fuck that. I want a Bugatti. Poof. You know, I think eventually I would kill myself through gnawing on my own leg. I would get an infection, some bloodborne thing, and I would die. Don't you think? Like,
yeah.
if somebody said, would you like your children to possess this power? You would dive at them at slow motion, and like in slow motion, like you're protecting the president, right? Like,
right.
No.
Yeah. It's the opposite of grit.
Right. Okay. So if that, and I always say, you listening, Drew?
I'm listening. You always say.
I always, no. But here's the deal.
No.
Yes. If you ever want to figure out what the answer is, what the truth is, what works the best, what looks the best, what is the best, go the opposite. Don't go the direction you're going. Go the opposite direction. Hear me roar. Hear me roar. You think to yourself, okay.
When did you become Helen Reddy?
I am woman. No, here's a, here's the deal. What we are talking about cars.
Yeah.
You think, okay, what looks best on a car when it comes to doing the wheels and the tires? What looks aesthetically, what looks the best? Why do race cars look so cool? And you go, well, they have the big fat slicks in the back and the smaller tires in the front. Okay. That looks good. It looks like it's in the car leans forward. It looks good. And then you go, how do you know that looks good? And you go, okay, let's do this. Put the big, fat, wide tires in the front.
Okay.
Put the skinny ones in back and have it lean backwards. Like there's a bunch of stuff in the trunk.
Right.
Now you immediately go, oh, well, that'd look horrible.
Okay.
So once you do the opposite and go, that would look horrible, now you know, okay, do the opposite of that, and we're back
just
to
as I thought.
Leaning forward. Even if you didn't have that thought initially,
that's interesting.
Just do the opposite strong.
Yep, like it.
And then you'll know. I tell people when it comes to doing things in your house and laying things out, whatever, go strong. You know, should the hinge be a little higher and then the lower one be a little bit? No, go super high and super low. Now what it look like? Oh, it looks like shit. Okay, now you're going the wrong direction.
Okay.
You know, that's how you know. So you take this power to have anything you want, when you want, exactly when you want it, and you go, well, that would kill my kid.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Nobody should have that. Okay, well, now do a version of that. Daddy's rich. Yeah. Daddy's going to put a soda machine in.
Yeah.
No, you can't snap your fingers and have Joey's pizza, but it's frozen in the refrigerator, and you can have the nanny toss it in the microwave and get it, you know, in the next 18 seconds. Okay, that's a version. That's that on a two-minute delay.
Yeah.
Not happy, right?
Not good. Not good.
Not good. Okay. Any other thoughts, Drew?
Well, that this idea of you going around collecting bottles to go, or to go to the movie theater. You know, if you were Woody Allen talking about Brooklyn in the 30s, it would have had a romantic flavor to it. But somehow in the putting it in the 70s and you doing it, it sounds like, oh, well, awful.
Yeah.
It was – what? Why was it romantic in the 1930s to walk to the movie theater so you could get the air conditioning? And yet in the – El Portal Theater in the Valley, it just seems like, oh, just the ultimate of despair.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. I think it had something to do with the horrible architecture that I was walking past. Like Woody Allen, if he was doing Radio Days, would have been walking past these brownstones and things like that.
And he'd be going to see some great film, too, not Doc whatever the fuck.
Doc Savage.
Doc Savage.
64% from the audience. All right. All right. I'll tell you what's a lot higher than 64% from the audience, by the way. Fox Tuesdays, baby. New comedies hitting Fox. They're almost here. September 17th. Don't miss the premiere of Dads from the creator of the
Seth
Family
Green.
Guy and
Seth
Ted.
There.
Yeah. From the creator of the Family Guy and
Seth
Ted.
Seth MacFarlane.
Hmm. Oh, Seth MacFarlane. What happened to that guy? I guess he's been working on
other things.
This show called Dads. Yeah. Giovanna Ribisi's in there as well. Seth Green, good friend of the show. And this, you know, again, between Ted and the Family Guy, I don't think you're going to go wrong with Dads. Also, by the way, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the critics are calling it, not the Rotten Tomatoes guy who were cowardly and wouldn't vote, wouldn't weigh in on Doc Savage. Great piece of cinema, by the way. But the real critics calling the one of the best sitcoms of the fall, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and new office comedy about the law, by the way, Law Without the Order.
Andy Sandberg's in that.
Love me some Andy Sandberg as well. So, Dads and Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Tuesday, coming up Tuesday the 17th, only on Fox. All right, Drew, I have something that everyone is tired of me talking about, but I'm going to talk to you about it because it's vexing. It's vexing. And I think it's...
I'd like to be vexed.
It speaks to where I'm at and how I go through my life and why it's difficult. When
miserable?
Not miserable.
Oh.
Just vexed. Vexed. Okay. I have been screaming for 5 years. Would you please, NFL, raise the goalpost uprights. The uprights, not the crossbar, the uprights.
Yes. The equivalent of the referee raising his hands over his
Yes.
head. The metal bar.
They did raise them once. They used to be quite a bit lower in
quite
the 50s and 40s and stuff
well,
like
to
that.
To be fair, it was just a it didn't have the, what would you describe that, that C bar. It'd just be a post with a crossbar.
Well, I know, but they raised the cross. They raised the post to go up a lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot. Now, if you take a look at kickers, you think about Garo Yeprimium, the Dolphins kicker from the unbeaten season.
Quick story.
Yes.
Took my dad to an my son to an optometrist, and when it comes in, Dr. Yeprimium. I'm like, this is going to sound weird, but you know anything about football in the 1970s? And she's like, Uncle Darryl.
Garo. Yes.
Yeah, Uncle Garo.
Yeah.
We're ashamed of him, yeah.
Well, Garo, if you see a picture of Garo Yeprimium, like in street clothes, you would not know what he did for a living. You think of an optometrist. I mean, Garo Yeprimium, first off, it's the greatest Super Bowl clip ever when he throws it into Bass's arms.
Well, that's what we were discussing.
He literally holds a football after the football's blocked and doesn't know how to throw it. Like, throws it like a girl.
You could probably find the video.
Oh, you'll find the video.
It's the funniest thing ever. There he is.
All right, there's Garo Yeprimium. Now, here's my point.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. She was very proud of him and stuff. He was one of the original, sort of star kickers.
Yes.
Very, very first.
And he has sideburns that look suspiciously like a cowboy boot. It has a heel and a toe. It's not just a sideburn. It's a boot burn. Okay. So, Garo was, I don't know, 155 pounds soaking wet.
It's tiny.
And the football literally was too heavy for him to throw.
Well, it sprung back into his hands. He was on like the 8-yard line.
He attempted to throw it, and it was like watching my daughter. No, my daughter has a much better arm than Garo Yeprimium. Here is my point. Have you seen?
Here it is.
Here it is, and it's the greatest.
It's at the Coliseum here in Los Angeles. Remember, this is the great team. And this kick, Powell
blocked.
Comes back to him.
Garo picks it up. Garo tries to pass it. He literally tries to pass it, but the ball doesn't go anywhere, and then he bats it up into the air to Mike Bassett. That's the only score, I believe, that Washington had. Yeah. Now, speaking of Washington, have you seen what kickers look like today? They're fucking yoked.
Yeah.
They're athletes. I mean, kickers were spindly guys who looked like
soccer players.
Yeah.
Little soccer players.
And they also just looked like they didn't belong in a football uniform back in the day. Well, now these guys have guns. They played quarterback and linebacker at high school, and then they just had to specialize in something at a certain point.
Right.
But these guys are with the program now. They're full-blown athletes.
Yeah,
and they're sidewinders, and they got a lot of leg.
Yeah.
And thus, when they're kicking anything, you remember back in the day, 42-yard field goal was, ooh, that's a long field goal. Keep your fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah.
Now these guys are blasting it over the fucking net in the back. And what's happening, and what happened again on Monday Night Football, is the guy kicked it, and it went so high and so far to the right that it went over the top of the upright, but you couldn't tell.
Couldn't judge it.
You can't tell whether it's fair or foul.
Well, now, hold on. They stand right under the upright, though, and look up.
They look straight.
Their job is to judge that kind of shit, right?
All right. The refs. But look, thank you
for
the attempt. But let me say this. It's a 62-year-old guy who's had cataract surgery who's standing under there. Yes. That ball, because these guys and their athleticism, is going past their 40 miles an hour.
And let me.
And they're looking into the night sky, into the light, and they're looking straight up, and there's a split second where that ball goes blasting by, hold on. Those guys screw up tons of calls throughout the course of the game. They say the guy's foot was in, his foot was out. They say the ball crossed, the ball didn't cross.
They never call this back to rejudge with video, ever.
There is no video. Yes. The only video is behind or in front.
Why expand the post? Why not just put a laser up? And if it goes inside,
thank you. You have joined the semi-retarded ranks of Bill the Sports Guy Simmons, who says this every single time I bring this up. First off, laser broken. That does not mean it would have caromed in or caromed out.
But that's I was going to make your point, too. Let's remind people that if it hits the upright and caroms in, that's still a good kick.
Right.
So theoretically, you would want to give these guys that opportunity by expanding. But if you didn't want to, just let's say you didn't
want
to.
Why would you not want to? Why? This is what I'm saying, Drew. The ball, first off, we could all argue that it is a very exciting play in sports and in the NFL when the ball does hit the upright. Yep. It's fucking exciting. It's funny. It's intriguing. It's exciting. Sometimes it just drops straight down. Sometimes it caroms out. Other times it caroms in. It's a very exciting play. You are nullifying and decreasing the likelihood of that very exciting play happening by not being able to take 8 feet of thin wall steel that's 4 inches around and weld it onto the top of the, existing.
You're talking about 24 feet,
I'm going to go crazy. Make it 12 feet. No, they're up high. They're just not high enough.
Okay.
90% of the plays I'm talking about, if you extended it 10 feet, it'd be the end of the problem.
Right.
It has happened on the first Monday Night Football game of the year with the Washington Redskins. The ball starts on the inside and it moves toward the out. So as it's going over the upright, it's going out. I can't tell from behind the kicker whether it would have hit it or not kicked it. Hit it. It's 8 feet above the fucking thing.
Yep, yep.
And there's no way the 62-year-old guy who's looking straight up in the air and the millisecond it crosses it is ever really with complete accuracy going to be able to tell it here. Now, wait. Hold on. This happens every year now. It happens constantly.
Yeah.
In a game where we have decided we are going to use replay to tell whether there's a fucking just a millimeter
Be
of
careful.
Grass.
You're between going towards my laser technology.
Listen to me. Why? Now, what's going to happen is a Super Bowl or a playoff game is going to be decided by this.
Yeah.
And then they're going to extend the uprights.
Yeah.
Why?
Why wait for
Well, here's what I'm saying. No. Here's the vexing part. Here's the insane part. To me. This is a very advanced league. If you've ever been to Texas Stadium, it has a Jumbotron that's 70 feet wide, that's high definition. It is state of the art.
Yeah.
The roof is retractable.
Yeah.
There's another stadium.
I don't know, in
Phoenix, Indianapolis. Yeah. There's one where the entire lawn, the field
That's Phoenix.
Phoenix goes outside to get sunlight and then comes back in. I mean, the technology is breathtaking.
Yeah.
The NFL, in terms of marketing their sport, in terms of strategically doing the financial decisions and whatever they've done, have been second to no one, maybe Apple or Nike or something, in the last 5 to 20 years. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable business. This involves no technology. It's zero technology. It involves about $400 worth of retrofit per stadium. This is the cheapest.
Yeah.
This is the cheapest thing you could do. It's a scissor lift. It's a guy with a welder, and it's thin wall steel.
You need to make the rounds in the sports programs.
I've done it.
The case.
Okay. I've said it to Rich Eisen, the NFL Network, for 5 years. Why don't they do it? And he goes, "Oh, I'm on the competition committee or whatever. I'll bring it up or whatever." Drew, this happens all season now. Yeah. It happens a dozen times a season.
Yeah.
We've played one Monday Night Football game. We're now 1-for-1 in Monday Night Football. First off, does not anyone else notice this? Is there not anybody from the NFL that watches the ball sail over the top of the upright,
That's the human element in the game. That's the magic
of
sports.
But you've addressed that with replay. Want that.
But we want that in certain areas, but not in others.
Nobody, the kicker, none of the fans, Nobody wants to not know whether that field goal was good or not.
You get people arguing.
How about in baseball? Does anyone want to know? Went the foul pole shortened so we know if it's a, don't know if it's a home run or not? No. We've extended this foul pole to the fucking heavens and we put a screen on it so it bangs against the thing.
Yep.
Why? 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 Why has this not been addressed? And don't give me a reason. There's not a reason.
Well, there's not a reason, but people, I wonder if you get retarded logic like, do you want lasers determining where the strike zone is and no longer the human element in this game?
What are you talking about? It's a poll. Why is there any poll then? Drew, why any poll?
Let's get rid of the poll.
We'll get rid of the poll. Just have the horizontal part.
That's your opposite logic again. This is you with the wheels in the front.
Well,
if I said
to anyone in the NFL in the competition committee, thank you, you're right. I say we take the upright part, and instead of 28 feet, we lower it down to 3 feet. Well, they would go, well, that's insane. You can't do that. And I'd go, why not? And they'd go, because every single one that was a little bit wide to the right or a little bit wide to the left, 20 feet above the thing, you couldn't tell. And I'd go, exactly, exactly. So now you got these guys that are yoked, that are kicking the ball out of the fucking stadium, and they can't tell.
Yep.
But, Drew, why is my answer?
Because, as you know, people wait until there is some sort of crisis before they make any change, no matter what it is.
Even if it's a...
Even if it's something simple and commonsensical.
And it costs literally... In terms of retrofitting a stadium, this is the cheapest thing.
I get you on that, but in terms of reaching a consensus about rule change, that's a big deal.
This isn't even a rule change.
Well, wait. I just looked up the NFL rule book.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't say in the rule book, Adam.
According to this,
a donkey can kick.
It's very specific about the width and the depth and how high the crossbar is off the ground. But then, as far as the verticals, it just says at least 30 feet above the field. So it sounds like any team could just do this.
Oh. Yeah, all you need to do is just convince one stadium to do it. Like in baseball.
Turn your mic on, Chris.
Yeah.
All you have to do is convince
engineer Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
All right, leave it.
Just
come on.
One stadium to do it. Like in baseball, you know, every stadium has different home run lengths and things like that. Just have one stadium do it and see how it goes.
Who's it going to be? Adam, who's it going to be? Who are you going to convince?
LA.
Well, we don't have a stadium, so, you know, I'd probably have to go to San Diego and see if I could get it done. Or, you know, I do feel like I have a nice following in Seattle. There would be pushback from the person that I spoke to about doing this. Again, there is no rule change here.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting. That makes it like now there's no reason.
And all we're trying to do is determine whether the thing went in or went out. We're not changing anything. It's funny. You know what? Everyone's number one answer when I bring this up is we should do a laser. And then I go, okay, we don't. The laser's not going to determine whether it went in or out. First off, it may miss the laser altogether. Yeah. It's not going to carry them in off the laser. It's not going to plunk off the laser. Quiet.
I know how
quiet,
you do it.
Quiet. Number one answer is we should do a laser. And I go, or somebody could make a Home Depot run and we could fix this with a can of yellow paint. Get a little of that exterior metal yellow paint and 10 feet of thin wall tubing. We could literally fix this. And then they go, then you know what number two answer for this is? You know what they should do? They should put one across the top and make it into a box, and you have to kick it.
They say that?
That's the number two answer. That's the number two answer. Insane. And I go, yeah, or you could raise the fucking post. Why are you? Why does this spawn a conversation about change? Yeah. By the way, good luck with the box.
Yeah, forget
with
it.
Goodell and the fucking box conversation. Yeah.
I like that idea. It requires finesse.
Here's how you're going to do it. I know how you're going to do it. I figured it out. You ready? You go to the team that has the guy with the biggest leg, and you go to them and go, look, I'm going to give you an advantage for all your home games. Your guy's blasting this shit over the upright. Your opposition can't even get near it. But your guy is going to have an added probability of caroming in if you increase these things by 15 feet.
That's how you get it done. 15 feet is – you could do it with 8 feet, number one.
But the guy with the big leg, huge leg.
But here's the thing. And now I'm not going to crap on your point, but I will bring this up. Who's to say that that's not an advantage, that they call it good when it's bad or vice versa. Do you
caroming? You get the carom.
No, but you may not want the carom. Maybe just blasting. I mean, you're right in the sense. Here's what I'm saying.
Now it's never going to happen the way
no,
you're
no,
arguing.
No, 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 no. What I'm saying is this. I appreciate
saying.
What you're saying. But the question is they may call ones good that weren't good. And if you put the post up, we're going to know it wasn't good.
Yeah, but
good.
That cuts both ways.
No,
both teams are going to have the equal probability of that happening.
No.
But you're going to have the added edge of your guy always being above those polls, now possibly caroming in. Huh?
Yeah, but no, no, yeah. No, no, no.
Because both teams are going to have that probability of missing the polls.
No, but your theory works correctly if every time it goes over the poll, they call it no good.
No, I understand.
You see what I'm saying?
But
that's all I'm saying.
But both teams have that same liability.
I am.
You know what I need to do?
Call
a meeting.
All right. I'm just saying we got to go get this done in Seattle.
We got to go to meeting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
You got to go to meeting. You got to call a meeting, go to meeting, just like we do. You got to get the Seattle guys together.
Yeah, get Pete Carroll on go to meeting.
Get him on go to meeting. Right? Can you set this up right now? And literally what you can do, because we love go to meeting, you can go to meeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You get the entire team. There, Pete Carroll will be there in high def. Adam will be there high def. Chris and Gary will be there too. They don't want to miss this. But, Adam, you could put your actual blueprint for the new crossbars, new poles, on the screen, and you could draw it for him. He could make adjustments on it because he can work on your document just as well as you work on his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone could work on it. You can bring in the commissioner of the NFL, all going to meeting at the same time, and you can too. Launch and join a meeting for any computer, smartphone, or tablet, even an iPad. You can try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam.
By the way, somebody, whenever I bring this up, I think Sheck brings it up. I think it was the Denver-Cleveland game when they used to, you know, had the drive and that kind of stuff back in the late 80s. I'm trying to think of when it was. But Denver-Cleveland, I think in Cleveland, there was, and I don't know if it was the drive game or the game, the next season. It happened a couple seasons in a row. There was a kick that went right over the top of that decided the game that everyone sort of forgets about. And maybe Gary can find it. But we're going on 25 years of,
no, I get
of
it.
This.
I understand that.
We'll find it.
I don't disagree.
But so here's, and I know what you're saying.
People can't disagree with you that it occurs. They could disagree with the philosophy of the approach to the human element in the game.
But here's what I'm saying to you, Drew.
Yeah.
Do we need a 9/11 in order for somebody to go, maybe we should reinforce these cockpit doors?
Yeah.
Why? Why not go, hey, there's 300 people in the plane. Some of them are on medication. A lot of them are nuts. What's to stop someone from just walking through this thinly plated door, grabbing the yoke and pushing it down toward the ocean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so somebody before 9/11 should have went, maybe we should put a little catch latch on this door and beef it up just a little bit. Well, no, we have to wait for 9/11.
Yeah.
This has been a whole series of smaller 9/11s. Again, it's a Monday Night Football game. It's not the Super Bowl, but yet it continues to take place all season, every season. Why not do it for the $80? And what's wrong with us, Drew? Why do I notice this? Every announcer's watching the game. Everyone in the stadium, the kickers, the coaches, they're all there. Why doesn't anyone notice this?
There's inertia to any change. And then we'll rationalize that inertia. We'll come up with reasons with why we don't want to change. And they make sense.
I understand the pushback, like when you go, look, I don't get it. Let's automate the warehouse. We'll automate everything. We'll have it. And then someone goes, you don't get it. And I go, what? Why wouldn't we be so much more efficient? The unions.
Yeah.
Well, what about the unions? Those guys contribute to the guys who are in power right now, and those guys are going to say no because they control, and OSHA's going to come in here, and you don't understand
right.
What's going on. And then I do understand. Like, okay, Oh, I get it. Yeah, so they don't want the more efficient, better way of doing it because their guys would be out of jobs and they got a powerful lobby, blah, 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 blah. That, I understand that part of life where someone tells you and you go, oh, now I get it. And that happens
right.
a lot.
Right.
There's zero counterpoint That's other right. than wanting to know whether the guy made the field goal or not.
But as you
there's
know,
no money. There's nobody in the stands that's going to complain. I don't even know if anyone would notice.
And thus, you walk around vexed because this is not the only thing that vexes you. There's lots of things that vex you because humans are like this in many respects. Yes?
I've said a million times back when everyone used to just listen on airplanes to the channels that they provided. They would
have the voice.
They would have Western and country and classic rock and hard rock and modern rock and jazz and smooth jazz and modern jazz. And I would say I started noticing I'd go, why is there not one sleeping channel? Because people want to sleep on an airplane. And I know they want you to sleep because if you ever take a red eye flight, they shut all the lights off and they give you a blanket and they go, don't bother us.
Yeah.
Here's a blanket and a pillow. We're shutting the lights. We're going to go read in the next cabin. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
So they would like you to go to bed because you're not hassling them. You have 14 channels that you program. You program the channels. And fully one-third of people get on an airplane. I'll bet you if you surveyed people who flew from L.A. to New York or New York to L.A. or whatever, or just any flight longer than 4 hours, what percentage sleep at some point during the course of that flight? I bet you'd get 46% of people, amazingly high percentage. Not one airline has done a sleeping channel programmed into the channels that they create.
Didn't you do one for Delta or something?
I did one for US Air.
US Air.
And they fought me all the way on it. But I did create one. But none has existed. No one's ever done one. Why?
I'm vexed by the need to urinate right now.
Okay.
Can I take a break? I'm completely vexed.
You can. I'm almost done with this coffee. All right. Gary. Gary's going to find that. It's driving me nuts.
I'm looking. They all seem to cut off where it ties. I'm not finding the overtime, but I'm looking.
Wait.
What?
Did I say overtime?
He didn't say overtime.
I'm reading about it. The field goal that ended
was in overtime.
Yeah, you said it was a game-ending field goal?
No, it was a game-winning. No, I said game winning, I think. Or maybe I did say ending. But either way, I don't know about
could have been early in the game.
No, it was a pivotal thing, and maybe it was OT. I don't know. But you can look. All right, we'll take a quick break. Drew's going to take a quick quiz.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Allison
Rosen. Hey, you guys, it's me, Allison Rosen, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. On Thursday, I was joined by Bald Brian, Matt Fondelier, Chris Laxamana, and Gary Smith, and we talked about all sorts of stuff, including ants crawling up your butt. And then on Monday, I sat down with Kelly Carlin, daughter of George, to Kay. Just kidding, daughter of George Carlin. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you. Allison's your new best friend.
Yeah, get it on. Drew's back from the head, everybody.
Yeah.
How's the tinkle?
It's good.
Solid.
Solid stream. Good stream.
All right. We're still trying to find that.
What's the matter, Chris?
Drive.
What's the matter? You didn't know that?
Line five is an interesting question for me that I've never answered before.
Let's see if we can predict it.
Predict what?
The answer to this question. Go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Big Ben.
Just curious, what is your favorite animal, Adam?
Do you have a favorite animal?
Yeah, I'll give you two.
For some reason, in my head, what popped into my head, I have no idea why, and I could be way off.
Mm-hmm. Typical one-eared dogs do not count, by the way.
Zebra and giraffe.
What dogs don't count?
I don't know why.
The usual one-eared dogs, the kind.
Like Molly Girl. Yeah.
I think domestic animals don't count, really, right?
You guys are going to have to look for this one. I think it's called the lure fish.
Your
favorite animal?
Yeah,
is it like
lure.
A deep sea? It's an illuminating fish?
Yeah.
It has a little lure in front of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a crazy mouth.
And giant teeth. Yeah,
it's the craziest beast.
Angler or something. Lure angler or something.
I think it's angler.
It's probably angler. Yeah. It's the angler fish. I am in love with that angler fish because it's the greatest looking creature in the world, and it's born with a lure that hangs over its head.
It's a light. It's a little light hangs over its head, right?
Yeah, and don't find any drawings
there it
of it. Yeah, it is.
That's not a good one, though.
We Gary likes to start, and then we work our way up toward the
just
the
lure.
Ones.
The lure really literally hangs in it, a sort of a like off a hook almost. Yeah,
yeah.
Not that kind of straight like a spear like that,
that one was kind of speary. But that's a great beast because it is essentially
there you go.
It's a giant mouth. And there's even better ones from the front, we'll find. It's a giant mouth with a lure in front of it that just pulls things into its giant mouth with its crazy teeth. It's one of the most absurd animals ever because animals have ways of disguising themselves so they can catch prey. And they have things like speed and stealth. But they don't have come here, come to me. Yeah, there it is. I mean, and not only that, the thing lights up. I mean, it really is the most insane thing on the planet. What? First off, what animal has something that lights up on it? And then what animal has a giant mouth with a fucking lure that hangs in front of it? It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. Yes, Drew?
Yes. I'm just looking at even its teeth. It's got a weird configuration on its teeth.
Okay.
Very
that,
strange.
Number one, you can. We can
and,
get,
and it, is it
we
blind? Get, we, its eyes look like. Does it not see too? It just lures stuff in and just.
I have no
sweeps it in?
Idea, but it is the most impressive thing on the planet. All right, Gary, you can get back to the calls. Thank you. Oh, I think we found the kick that won it for the Broncos in OT, in overtime.
In 86.
In 86. So let's do some math here, Drew. It's been over 25 years now.
Yeah.
Over 25 years. This is how Denver won it in overtime in Cleveland after the drive. The drive tied it up, I guess, and this is OT. Let's take a look at the kick. You tell me whether he makes it or not.
They're all celebrating. It looks way off.
Went over the top of the bar, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me definitively whether that was in or out?
No way.
If the bar had been extended 7 feet, could you have told me?
Yep.
Right. That took place. That sent Denver to the Super Bowl. That took place over 25 years ago. Nobody's added an inch to the height of that, Drew. What is going on? What's going on? Could you tell?
I'm vexed.
That's 25 years ago. Stadiums have been demolished and rebuilt in that time. Tens. And they're right over the top. In or out? What would you call? The refs called it in. Would you call it out?
I have no idea.
You can't?
No idea.
It's impossible to tell. But in that case, if they extended the bar 2 feet, could have figured it out.
I wonder if they raised them at all after that. It looks like they might be a little taller, no?
Thank you for attempting to shit on the
I'm
point.
Not shitting, yeah,
take
I'm
a look
wondering.
At it. Take a look again at it. I don't think that looks like
what's
standard
your second animal? What's your
NFL.
Second animal?
I love me a fucking German Shepherd. Oh. I like the ones that walk with the squatted rear end, like a low rider.
Yeah.
Because not only do I like, not only are they fucking smart, but I mean, you know, when you see these ones, especially the military ones, now that is a full
right.
height.
Height, full
that
height.
Is a full height. It went over the top. It's been over 25 years.
Yep. You're right.
Okay. What are we? Are we smart or are we dumb? We have a space shuttle, but then we can't extend a fucking piece of thin wall tubing. What are we, Drew?
We have inertia.
Why can't everyone just listen to me?
Oh,
they just fucking do what I tell them to do. That'll be that.
That's a whole other matter.
Did we not have a commissioner of the NFL when this took place 25 years ago? And did he not go, well, that wasn't very satisfying because one team's going to the Super Bowl, the other team's going home, and I can't tell whether that thing would have made it or not.
I wonder if kickers purposely now try to get it over just so it'll count. like they purposely kick it as high as they can now, rainbow kick it over the
post. But I think they're aiming for right down the middle. The third answer is there should be a middle post that if you hit, you get 10 points, which I'm sort of down with.
That's
but
back
still,
to Chris in his box.
Not satisfying. All right, the German Shepherd, the military German Shepherd, the one that like speaks English and German and protects the kids and all that stuff. Yes. I fucking love that dog. I just love the coloring of that dog. I love the shape of that dog. I love the size of that dog, and I just love that fucking animal. All right. Where the hell were we? And by the way, the exact opposite, what, is the dog that Paris Hilton's toting around through
the
airport the doing
opposite.
Nothing but shitting and shedding dander.
The one we see on the plane.
Right. All right.
By the way, I had one, another one on a plane the other day.
Drew?
Think of you every time.
What do I say?
Yeah, it's game on.
Why don't people, you know what? I should move on top of a mountain. I should grow a huge beard, and there should be a line of people just coming up to me. And I don't mean just regular people. I'm talking about politicians, trendsetters going, what is happening and what is going to happen?
If you looked the part, maybe then people would listen. So if you did that, maybe then.
You know what I need? I need some cool frames and a soul patch, and then people would fucking listen.
No, I think the long beard,
and the robe,
yeah,
sandals,
yeah, and you need some sort of religious sort of environment, some sort of
wise.
Sort of paraphernalia.
I don't look wise. I look like an idiot. I think that's the point. All right, you know, if you were wise, you'd use LegalZoom, baby.
I do. I must be wise.
Sometimes it's just luck. Anyway, LegalZoom, the quickly turn that's. Stressful feeling of having to spend all that money when you're starting a new business to ensure your personal assets are safe and legally protected. Boom, they take care of it all. They take care of it all online. Super easy, super quick, super simple, and inexpensive. LegalZoom.com, man. They've helped over 1 million businesses get started. They're ready to help you, and they're ready to help you launch your dream. LegalZoom is going to save you hundreds of dollars. Go to LegalZoom.com, see what they can do for you.
Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit, all starting at just $99. Plus, you'll save even more when you enter Drew, D-R-E-W, in the referral box at checkout. Help ensure your business and assets are legally protected at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with an attorney, but they're not a law firm.
All right. Let's take one more question here, Drew. What do you like? You have one you like up there?
What was that?
I don't know. I'm going to put that guy on hold. Line three.
Okay. Three.
Melissa.
Yeah.
Calling from Georgia, 24. What's going on?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
What's up?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Hey there. Hi, Melissa.
I absolutely love you guys. I just want to let you know.
Thank you.
Adam, I think everybody should listen to you. And they probably would listen to you more if you made a religion. You could call it like Corollaism.
Yeah.
Just Adamism.
Vince, the right eyewear and a right facial hair would do it.
But you need the trappings of wisdom. These two incense. You need to swing an incense bucket.
I need something other than he's talking again. All right.
You know, we need to work on your vocal production too.
Maybe
that
that's
nasally
it.
Drone needs to be improved.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah. You just got to get a really big Pope hat, you know, and then everybody would listen to you.
Pulpit,
Pope hat, a crown.
Oh, Pope hat,
a mitre,
a Pope hat.
Yeah, what is that called?
He's always said he wanted to be the vicar of Christ.
I want a bully Pope hat.
And then the really big staff and just a whole bunch of people to
come. All right,
Melissa,
you got a problem. What is it?
All right. Let me preface it by first saying I want to get your opinion, like if it were your daughter who had this issue, you know, for either of you. But it's not anything. I've talked to my mom about it. It's not anything growing up. You know, I have black people in my family. My uncle's married to a black woman, black cousins. But, you know, I've been with a man who's black sexually, like, but I've never been able to date one, like go out for dinner and a movie. And, you know, recently I had a relationship with somebody online where I'll admit, like I fell in love with them, but that was all before, you know, it was before a lot of pictures, a lot of the digital age. So, you know, once I finally got a picture of him, I'm like, oh, he's black, and completely ruined it. I couldn't continue the relationship. So,
well, look, here's the thing. People are attracted to physical traits, and it's insane to not work ethnicity into that physical trait because that is the predominant physical trait of a person. Now, I don't see color, but I do smell it a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. But No, I don't see color, and I happen to believe that there's I've seen beautiful versions of every color, and I've seen really fucking ugly versions of every color. But some people have a thing for Asians, and some people have a thing for blondes, mostly the world, but they have a thing for blondes. And then some people just aren't attracted to this
certain
group
certain,
or that
certain,
group.
Certain configurations.
Yeah, they possess physical attributes that aren't attractive to certain people, depending on how you are.
So that's a given.
Right.
So the question is, when is it racism? Which is a really interesting question.
Well, no, I think when it's racism is when you go, I'm attracted to this person. I like this person. I like what they have to say, and I like what they look like, too. But I can't be seen with this person, or my dad can't see me with this person, or whatever it is. I'm not attracted to the person just means I'm not attracted to the person.
But I still say that there could be it goes at what makes us attracted to anybody. I mean, let's face it, this is a very complicated thing. But you wonder whether racism affects that. You know, if it colors that.
Obviously,
so
it's a factor. But there's probably more chicks dating black dudes because their dad was a racist than less.
I agree with that. But let's consider it this way. Back before there wasn't – now there's just – it's a soup. Everyone – you know, it's a goulash.
Right.
Everyone's good. But I would posit that 40 years ago, people wouldn't consider it. They wouldn't be open to the attraction. Mm-hmm. Even though there's some very attractive people of different races and ethnicities, people just sort of wouldn't be open to it.
To me, this isn't worth dissecting as deeply as we've even dissected thus
far.
Well, for
her, I think it might be.
Well,
she
had sex with a black guy.
So this guy you're just not into, right?
Well, that's the thing. I love him. I do. But I can't bring my – like, I don't want to have half black kids is really what it comes down to. I can't see myself with that person forever. I could have sex with them. I could be attracted to them. I really do love them. But
why is it that way when it's the other way around, or the other culture, or the Jews wanting you to marry a Jewish man so that you can raise them in a Jewish environment and have Jewish kids, or the Asians, which are very much this way. They want the Koreans. They want the Korean to marry the Korean. Indian. It goes to every culture. We get slapped with racist. Everyone else is, they're traditional, and they want this for their thing. And I could understand you wanting to keep this culture alive. So why do we have to fucking beat ourselves with a stick that we don't raise to anyone else?
You need a gavel.
It's like Maxipata's nurse mom wants him to marry a god, whatever. You know, whatever that thing is over there, he wants to marry another one. You know what I mean? So they could have little ones of them. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But you wouldn't go beat her with her nursing hat, would you? Or her weird
Hermiter
white shoes with the super thick heel and the no laces. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Would never. Earth shoes.
I don't know. The point is, we understand it clearly when it's an Eastern Indian guy going, we don't say it's good, but we go, I understand. The Jews are very strong this way. They go, we want you, the culture, the religion.
I would argue
this is
a worthy conversation to keep the openness moving forward. That's at least worthy.
I understand. Okay. All right. I'm saying there are things, and look, there's plenty of it going on out there. I don't think there's a problem in 2013 with people stepping outside of their race or their religion and marrying. But to say that the family who was fill in the blank, Jewish or Mormon, or Korean or whatever, would not hope that they have grandkids that look like they did when they were three, I think that's reasonable. When the person comes home with the person and says, I'm marrying this person, when they shun them, then we got a problem.
Right.
Okay. We will take a little extendo break. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank you all for checking out Me and Dr. Drew. First three shows, Denver, Santa Barbara, Bakersfield, all available at AdamCarolla.com and iTunes. Max Pata masterfully put those together. They sound fantabulous.
Get the next set, Chris. Come on now. Get to work.
We'll have an East Coast set coming out soon.
East Coast set coming out soon. And again, keep the pirate ship going. Subscribe via the PayPal button. Show us a little love. So, until next time, it's Adam Crowford, Dr. Drew, Chris Maxpata, and Gary. Got the kicker up there.
Full.
No, he's not full. He's down. He's down. He's 9/16 star. Until next
Thanks,
time,
sir.
Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.